Chardonnay. Now, Genesis Robinson described Chardonnay as a tart of the grape world. That is, it will lie down anywhere and do what it's told. In other words, it's quite flexible. It grows almost anywhere in the world, and well, almost anywhere where the grapes grow, and is quite flexible to the winemaker's influence. Now, the wines that it produces can be stylistically very different. If you think about the minerality and high acidity from Chablis, Champagne with its fizziness and obviously the yeastiness that comes from the winemaking process, buttery fruit-driven wines and tropical fruit wines or oaky vanilla wines, there's quite a range of styles that Chardonnay can produce. In the winery, its advantages are obvious. It's difficult to make a poor wine from it unless it's been picked too late, because then the acidity levels fall quickly, which can make it a bit flabby. The winemaker can stomp their foot on Chardonnay. Aging in oak barrels can give a toasty, nutty and vanilla aromas, and cheaper Chardonnays often see oak chips and staves that tend to give a simpler vanilla flavours without the nuttiness. Many Chardonnays undergo malolactic fermentation, and this is a different type of fermentation to the normal alcoholic fermentation, where yeast gobbles up sugar and converts it to alcohol. Malolactic fermentation uses a bacteria to convert the malo acid, think green apples, to lactic acid, think milk, lacto-lac for milk, and these tend to soften the acidity and give a creamy, buttery flavour to the wine. Many other grapes undergo malolactic fermentation, particularly reds, but Chardonnay, it tends to be the most obvious. Lees contact is another important winemaking technique, and by leaving the dead yeast or lees in contact with the wine takes on a bready, yeasty aromas, and the texture can become richer and more creamy. And that's how Champagne gets its nuttiness, is from the lees aging. They call that process autolysis, which is a nasty sounding term, but it just means that the dead lees or the dead yeast is decomposing and releasing all those yeasty, bready flavours. During the late 1990s, Chardonnay was the drink of choice for many. However, people became bored with the oaky wines found in many bars, and the term ABC, or anything but Chardonnay, came about. The ubiquitous, yet noble Chardonnay grape has virtually become a brand name. From its homeland in Burgundy, its fame and fortune has taken it all over the world. It's grown on different soils in varying climates to be used either as a single varietal or as a blend for still and sparkling wines, and with or without oak aging to create a range of wines with diverse personalities, and as a result, it's very difficult to describe a typical Chardonnay. For a start, the grape can make anything from everyday glugger to a high-quality wine deserved of aging. Its popularity in the vineyard stems from the fact that it's easy to grow and consistently yielding generously with relatively high sugars and therefore alcohol. Now, Chardonnay isn't strongly aromatic, but the flavours can give an idea of the climate. Cool climate wines often have a lemon, apple, or even a pear aroma, with some detecting anything from apples or barely ripe apples in Chablis and Champagne. Common descriptors, however, tend to refer to the texture and weight rather than the flavour. Buttery for broader styles, such as Meursault from the Côte de Beaune, steely for Montrocher. There's an attractive leanness in fine Côte d'Or white Burgundy that sets it apart from Chardonnays from the rest of the world. But this can be emulated further south in the Côte Chalonnaise and Mâcons in good vintages and clever winemaking. The more moderate climates of Mâcons, Chardonnays can have a melon peach aroma, and occasionally in the riper Mâcons areas such as Puy-Fuze, pushing into the tropical fruit flavours with full body. In Australia, some moderate areas such as Margaret River, Yarra Valley and Adelaide Hills, citrus and melon is very common and complemented with oak. Full-bodied tropical fruits of pineapple, mango and banana are often associated with hotter climates and wines from Australia's inland areas, often labelled as southeastern Australia. And California's Central Valley, again, often simply labelled as California. It blends with many other grape varieties well, but often the blends are to make the wine a bit cheaper. In Australia, Semillon is added and gives a citrus note, and similarly Chenin Blanc adds a freshness in South Africa. While the huge cropping but neutral Colombard grape is also blended in South Africa and California. In fact, Chardonnay is quite receptive to being blended with many grape varieties around the world and is often added to local varieties. Viogniers, which are one of my more favourite wines at the moment, give a rich oily nature and peachy aromas and can give Chardonnays the richness to make a lovely full-bodied blends. While Burgundy is often seen as the home of great Chardonnays, New Zealand has carved out a niche of producing quality wines with melon and tropical fruit backed by the light and appropriate use of oak. Well, Marlborough Sauvignon Blancs gets a lot of the attention, and it's the biggest style of white wines in New Zealand. The North Island's Gisborne and Hawke's Bay Chardonnays are considered by many as the highest quality white wines coming from New Zealand. Both Chile and Argentina make excellent Chardonnays, both benefiting from reliable weather. Chile has a cooling Humboldt current that moderates the climate, and the fruit from the coastal Casablanca area, but less so in the warmer areas, and hence riper, Central Valley. Now be careful, there's two Central Valleys, one in California and one in Chile. And the Central Valley from Chile often has more tropical fruit wines. Argentina's Mendoza in the Andes uses altitude to keep the wine producing areas moderate, again producing good fruit wines with ripe melon and tropical fruit notes.